You're listening to Sounds Good. It's your midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, and I'm pleased to welcome on the phone retired FBI agent and cybersecurity expert Jeff Lanza. Jeff, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
You bet. Glad to. Thanks for the opportunity.
You have a presentation coming up September 18th at Walker Hall. Wells Fargo Advisors and Paducah is bringing you down to speak about cybersecurity and identity theft. Can you remember the first time you heard someone say cybercrime or cybersecurity?
Yeah, well, it's been a few years, but actually not that many when you think about it, because cybercrime is a relatively new phenomenon, and it really started to take hold for individuals, like the people that will be coming to this event, and for all of us when the internet started to be used in the mainstream. So we're talking 20, 22, 23 years. So businesses have been affected by cybersecurity for longer than that. When we talk about individuals going online and emailing and getting fake emails and phishing attempts to steal our information, that's when it really became important, because now it brings it down right to the individual level in our living rooms.
Just generally, how has the threat landscape changed since then?
Well, the threat landscape has changed because there's a lot more people who are trying to generate income by using illegal means, by hacking into computers or by getting unsuspecting people on our home computers to click in the wrong place, which would download malware to computers that may steal information, as well as convince people to send money in a variety of different scams. So the threat landscape has changed in scope and in specifically how they go about it. In scope, much bigger target audience, and then the internet has given them the ability to attack us in different ways.
I know this is kind of a loaded question, but what attack vectors should an internet security professional prioritize today?
So if we're talking about individuals, you know, on our home computers, what we really need to watch out for in terms of how they might attack us is emails. 90% of the things that will happen that are bad on our computers will come from some external source like an email. So it'd be two possibilities there: a link in an email that sends us to a web page that may cause bad things to happen, or something we download. You know, say, hey, click on this link to download a free something or other, get a coupon for, you know, a department store or an online store. And we want to always avoid doing those things. And when I say bad things can happen, what I mean is malware. And the word malware, by the way, is derived from two terms: malicious software. And if we get malicious software on our computer, it can do things like steal our information as type them in. It can steal information from our computer. And it can do things that can allow the bad guys to get access to our various online accounts. So that would be one way through these attack vectors on through email. And the other way that we're seeing a lot of that involves not just computers we use, but computers being used to commit crime. So we're seeing the robocalls and the people that are using computers to generate phone calls, hiding the phone number that they're calling from, basically using a hiding service, spoof calling service, and then being able to make thousands upon thousands of calls at very little cost that will try to trick people into sending money because of some immediate, you know, need to respond to something. You're going to be arrested by the IRS. You have a child member in trouble. You've missed jury duty, and you got to send money to, or something bad's going to happen. So computers are being used to commit crime as well as making us victims in our own homes.
What special challenges are presented with all of the IoT or Internet of Things devices that we're inundated with today?
Yeah, so with IoT devices, so we're seeing computers that are miniaturized in nature that are connected to the Internet. So that could be anything from a refrigerator to our thermostat in our home, and TV, televisions, and so forth. And so what the hackers are trying to do now are trying to find ways to use those devices to hack into our computer networks as well. And the key for people to remember is anytime you have connected to the Internet, including your phone, your smartphone devices in your home, you just make sure that you're careful on how you protect that Wi-Fi access. So the Internet access in your home through your router, you should always have a strong password for that. Never make it open. So you should make it so no not anybody can get access to that without the password. Strong password, being long in length, complicated, and then making sure that when you bring devices into that network, that you change the default password on those devices. So, because a lot of times the hackers, they know printers, they know other devices that access our networks, and they use the default passwords that have been set by the company, and they might be able to get access to those devices. So if someone can lock you out of a refrigerator, no, that wouldn't be actually a disaster if they did that, but they may get access to our network through those IoT devices that you mentioned.
Is there any kind of uniqueness to cybercrime as it affects more rural areas?
No, I think it's pretty broad. It affects people in cities as well as rural areas. It's across the board. And what happens is if you have an internet connected device, whether it be an IoT device or a computer, you're vulnerable, whether you live in a major city, suburban area of a major city, or in a rural area.
A lot of rural law enforcement agencies can be cash-strapped, especially as compared to some of those in larger cities. But the people trying to commit cybercrime don't seem to have these same problems with cash. So how can law enforcement agencies keep up with these criminals?
Yeah, the key is the FBI and law enforcement agencies can't stop cybercrime. In most of the cases, they don't have the tools and the resources, as you just mentioned, to investigate it. So it really comes down to education. It comes down to having events like Wells Fargo's having in Paducah to educate people on where to be careful. The key here is to prevent these things from happening, because if you're victimized and you call law enforcement, they really they don't have the resources to chase somebody down in Miami or in some other place where the crime originated, or even in foreign countries. Even the FBI can't necessarily do that. So we have to prevent it from happening to begin with and make sure we don't even have to take these cases to law enforcement. And that's why we're careful, we're vigilant, and those are some of the things we'll be talking about coming up soon.
Are there any Kentucky-specific security issues or curiosities that you know of?
You know, when I give these presentations, I try to customize them to local events. And one in particular that I like to customize is a ransomware attack. So that's when your own computer is held hostage by the hackers because you clicked in the wrong thing and it downloaded software that locks up all your files. So those things have happened across the country to businesses and individuals. Every place I go, whether it be Paducah or New York City or where I am today, as a matter of fact, there's examples of local businesses and individuals have been affected by those ransomware attacks. So I usually check that about a day or two before to get the latest version. So I haven't done that for Kentucky yet, but I will be by the time I get there on the 18th.
Are you surprised at the successful post-FBI career you've had as a speaker at conferences and seminars talking about cybercrime and cybersecurity?
Yeah, I'm floored. I'm floored by it. And I you know, timing is everything in life. And in luck. And so I kind of came into this field, retired from the FBI at a point in time where cybersecurity came an extremely hot topic. And so the demand for me to talk about these events and help people navigate some of these issues, and there's always new things that come up. So I'm, you know, able to update and talk about new things all the time. So I'm getting called back to the places I've been before. So it's not like one and done. You keep going. You do them over again in places, and you go to new places. And so I've been lucky to get that kind of response. But the key is here is we're helping people. It's not just me doing events. It's helping people to stay safe from these crimes, because ultimately we want to put the hackers out of business. And the only way we can do that is if we're careful and vigilant, protect our money and our information.
Jeff, I know you're very busy. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with me and my audience today.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for having me on.
Jeff Lanza is an award-winning, nationally known speaker. His career as an FBI special agent has fueled his passion for helping people and organizations. He'll be speaking on cyber security and identity theft coming up September 18th in Paducah at Walker Hall. He's brought there by Wells Fargo Advisors.